Do you remember hearing the story of David and Goliath for the very first time? If you grew up in church, probably one of the very first stories you learned as a child. In fact, maybe one of the very first songs that you learned to sing was Only a Little Boy Named David, if you remember that song. John, I wonder sometimes if we're so familiar with this story that we don't just gloss over it. Maybe we've come to think that we know all the details about this story and that it's just a children's story. It's just a story for the little ones, but does it really benefit us? And I have to really say that as familiar as I am with this story, I haven't really preached on it all that often in my time of preaching, probably for those reasons, just thinking that we've all heard this story before. But I want to look at this story today in 1 Samuel chapter 17 because I believe that it can benefit us. I believe that there are important applications to this story because all of us at some time, and maybe right now, will face giants in our life. We will all have giants to face. And by that, I am talking about a giant of a problem. A giant of a situation or a circumstance that may seem insurmountable. It could be a giant of fear. You know, sometimes we're paralyzed by fear. And it could be that there's something you're fearful of right now, something that is troubling you. And it's stressing you out right now. And when you think about it, it just grips you. It paralyzes you. You're somewhat paranoid because of it. And that's the giant of fear that you are facing. Or it could be a giant of a personal sin that you are facing. Some area in your life where you are weak. And it seems like you have fallen over and over again to the same sin. And maybe you've had a victory over temptation from time to time. And maybe you go a week or a month without committing that particular sin. But then it comes back. And it seems as if it comes back with greater force than it has in the past. It might be the sin of pride or the sin of envy or the sin of lust. Something like that. That is a giant in your life. And maybe in a related way, it could be that you're facing the giant of addiction today. You're addicted to some substance. There are Christians today who are battling the addiction of alcohol. Some even battling the addiction of drugs. It has a grip on your life. Or maybe there's just some giant threat that is taunting you today, someone slandering you and making a threat against you. Or it might be a different kind of giant, so to speak. It could be that you're facing the giant of a husband or a wife who's not a Christian. Or it could be the giant of a prodigal child who has left the Lord. And you've prayed for them and it seems as if they just seem to turn more and more away from God as the years pass. And you wonder, how am I ever going to be able to overcome this? How do you deal with giants? That's the question that I want us to think about this morning. How do you deal with giants? Well, this story of David and Goliath gives us the answer that we need. Because as we face giants, you will see from this story that we need the power of the Lord. So let's look at this story. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 at verse 1, the scripture tells us the Philistines gathered their armies for battle against the Israelites. Now, you know, there was this perpetual battle against the Philistines and the Israelites. It was this ongoing battle. Verse 2, it says, Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, and the Israelites stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And so picture that in your mind, if you will. You think about the Philistines on one hill, thousands of soldiers, and then there's this valley, maybe about a mile in length. And on the other side, on the other hill, there are thousands of Israelite soldiers, and there's been this standoff between the two. No battle. They prepare for battle every day, but they just stare each other down. But the Philistines have this giant. They have this champion who is issuing a challenge to the Israelites. Beginning at verse 4, we see some things about Goliath that I would like to highlight. In 1 Samuel 17 and verse 4, it says, "There came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." So the first thing we see about this champion, Goliath, is that he was huge. Maybe you remember the huge picture of Goliath in your Bible classroom. And you remember standing in front of that and looking up and just being overwhelmed at the height of Goliath. For you NBA fans out there, Taco Fall is the tallest NBA player at 7'5". When I was young, I remember Manute Bull. I don't know if anybody remembers Manute Bull, but he was the tallest in the NBA. He was stood at 7'5" as well. And you think about that, those guys would have to look up at Goliath. And so what I am to Manute Bull or Taco Fall, Taco Fall and Manute Bull are to Goliath. Goliath didn't even have to jump to dunk it. He was huge. But verse 5 also tells us that not only was he huge, he was well armed. Verse 5, he had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. I mean, can you imagine how heavy the sword was? And his shield bearer went before him. So he had this huge shield that he didn't have to carry around with him. He had his shield bearer carry it for him, but it would be ready for him in battle. And so he was well armed. And then you just picture in your mind, however you view the face of Goliath, I picture a mean guy, the snarl on his face. He would be an intimidating opponent. So he was a giant, a champion giant who was well armed. But then next we see in the text that he was defiant. Notice verse 8. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." So here's this champion giant Goliath out every day issuing this challenge to the Israelites. "Send me your man down and let me prevail against him." So Goliath obviously had the attention of the Israelites. But what was the response of the Israelites? Well, they were afraid of him. That's the next thing that I want you to see. In verse 11, it says, "When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Now, I want you to notice in that text how it points out Saul specifically. It wasn't just the Israelites who were greatly afraid. It was Saul who was dismayed and afraid as well. And who would be the most logical candidate to go up against Goliath of the Israelites? Wouldn't it be Saul? You remember, Saul was the biggest man that they had. When he was chosen as king, he was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was the man in charge. He was the commander of the army. And what a great opportunity for King Saul to stand up and say, "I will go up against this champion Goliath, and I will defeat him in the power of the Lord. I will set an example to this army that we rely upon the power of God." What a hero he would have been. He would have been an inspiration, but yet Saul was afraid. He didn't step out in faith. He chose not to trust and rely in the power of God. But let's not be too tough on the Israelite army or Saul. If we were in that situation and we saw Goliath taunting us, how would we respond? I would suggest that we would be intimidated as well. But something the Israelites needed to know and understand, and something that we need to understand as Christians today, when we can read in the New Testament certain verses that give us the strength and the courage to face our giants, even though those giants can be intimidating at times, we need to remember verses like 1 John 4 at verse 4. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Or Philippians 4 at verse 13. I can do all things through him, through Christ who gives me strength. Or 1 John 5 at verse 4. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And so while at times we may be intimidated by the Goliaths in our life, we can overcome them. And Saul and the Israelites needed to know this. But I want you to notice next, the brother of David, Eliab, and his response to David as the story goes on. Look at verse 17. Jesse said to David, his son, take for your brothers an ephah of this parched grain and these 10 loaves and carry them quickly to the camp to your brothers. Also, take these 10 cheeses to the commander of their thousand. See if your brothers are well and bring some token from them. I mean, you imagine as a parent, as a father, you have sons in battle, you would be fearful, right? And you would want to know what is going on. Have they been hurt? Have they been killed? And so he goes and he has David send for them. And he says, also, take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of the unit. Wouldn't hurt to maybe do something nice for the commander. Maybe he'll keep my sons out of harm's way. Maybe he'll protect them a little bit more. See how your brothers are doing, Jesse says, and bring back word to me. Now, I want you to notice David's reaction, because this is so important. David's reaction when he gets to the battlefield. Verse 19. Now, Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took the provisions and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting the war cry. So once again, picture this in your mind. Picture in your mind the Israelites on one side, the Philistines on the other side, on the other hill, and they're shouting out their war cries. Now David comes along as this teenage boy. And think about hearing this giant Goliath shout. And then you hear the claim of the Philistine. And you anticipate that there could already be bloodshed. And you're this young man. What would you do? You would keep a distance. You're going to maybe just find somebody and say, hey, here's these supplies. Will you take these to my brother Eliab? I got to head back. I've got to check on my flock. But David was intrigued with the battle. And notice in verse 22. In verse 22, it says, David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. And as he talked with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. Now, David was a mighty warrior. Remember when it came time for the temple to be built. Remember, David wanted to build the temple, but it was God who said, no, you can't do it because you have too much blood on your hands. David was one who was always ready and prepared for battle. We know later on in his life that he had many great victories in battle. And it seems as if David was always prepared for battle, even as a young boy. David heard him as Goliath was shouting his defiance. In verse 24, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. So what was Saul doing? Well, Saul wasn't courageous to go up against Goliath, so he decided, well, I'm going to offer up some reward. Maybe somebody will step out and try to face Goliath. I'll exempt your whole family from taxes. I'll give you my daughter, Michael, in marriage. I'll give you a bonus if you go out and fight this giant. Wonder what those soldiers in the army talked about at night. Anybody willing to go out? Anybody wanting to go fight for the bonus? You won't survive it, but you can go out and try to get it. Well, David was interested. And David asked the man standing near him in verse 26, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Now notice what David was concerned with. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David says, he just shows up and he says, there is no way we can tolerate this blaspheming of God. He's not only making a fool of the Israelite army, he's not only ridiculing our nation, he is defying our God. David says someone needs to do something here. David was telling the truth. And I want you to notice his oldest brother, Eliab. Notice his response in verse 28. His eldest brother, Eliab, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. So hear the anger in his voice when he says, why have you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? He says, I know your presumption, evil of your heart. You have come down here to see the battle. You wonder, why was he so mad? Well, do you remember when Samuel came to anoint one of Jesse's sons as king? He would have been impressed with the oldest, Eliab. But remember, God said, don't look at his height. Don't look at his appearance. I look at the heart. And so maybe Eliab, as a large person, a lot of his buddies maybe were saying that, you're one of the biggest guys. Why don't you go and fight? And he doesn't have the courage. So I'm not going out there to fight Goliath. And now David, his little brother, shows up. And he says, why doesn't somebody go fight him? Eliab says, why did you leave the sheep? You're just a little shepherd. Get out of here. He says, I know how conceited you are. I know your evil heart. You just want to watch the battle. But that wasn't true. David didn't have evil in his heart. It wasn't an ego. David had a heart to serve God. David could not stand to hear his God blaspheme. I want you to see David's confidence, that David is courageous. He believes that he can defeat this giant. Look at verse 31. Verse 31 says this, when the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Listen, David wasn't cocky. It wasn't an ego, because what does he call himself? He calls himself a servant. He calls himself a servant here. He says, as the servant of God, I will accomplish this. He was humble. He had a confidence in the Lord that he could do it. And Saul replied in verse 33, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. And he has been a man of war from his youth. Here's Saul, the expert, the general, the commander. And he says, you can't defeat this giant. But notice what David says, and notice why he was so confident. Verse 34, David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. And first part of verse 36 says, your servant has struck down both lions and bears. I mean, how can a young man take a lion and a bear down and defeat it? Does that remind you of Samson? With that strength from the Lord? This is David. David knew from past experience that the strength of the Lord was with him. And that made him confident. But there's something else that David says in verse 36. That he has defied the armies of the living God. You see, David was confident because he believed in justice. There's a sense of what is right here that David sees. And he says what Goliath is saying is not right. That there is no way God is going to allow this kind of blasphemy in defiance against his name. God's going to stop this, and God is going to win. And that's why David had confidence in this battle. And he had trust in God. Look at verse 37. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. I love that David was so confident in his expression here of his confidence and his trust in God and the past experiences that he had, that Saul just simply says, go. Go, go. May the Lord be with you. Even though you're just a young boy. But Saul says, wait a minute, let me at least try to help you out here. And this is somewhat amusing. In verse 38, Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped a sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And so David put them off. Maybe that reminds you. I think about my girls who put on Sarah's shoes or the article of clothing. They put it on and they put her shoes on, and they can't walk very well when they do that. Or maybe you can remember putting on your dad's sport jacket or an article of his clothing, and you put that on, you put his shoes on, you just kind of slide across the floor. You're not very mobile, are you? You can't move very well. And so that's how I picture David here, with this huge armor on him. He's just shuffling his feet, and there's no way that in that armor he's going to be able to go out against the Lord. And so he says, just take this off. I don't want to go out into battle in this. You know, there's a point that I want to make from this, that when you fight a giant, you need to put on the armor of God for yourself. You need to put on the armor of God for yourself. Not someone else's armor. You need to put on God's armor for yourself. Now notice what happens in verse 40. He took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. What do you think of when you think of a slingshot? Maybe you think of that pronged fork, you know, with a rubber band, and you might be able to shoot some pieces of paper or some little pebbles out with that. You've had some fun with that in the past. But this is not some toy that David had. The slingshot that David used was a powerful weapon in war. It'd be strapped with a stick on one end, and they would wrap a stone, sometimes as big as a baseball in size, and they'd whip it around and release it, and they'd hurl that stone. In Judges chapter 20 at verse 16, we see there's some specialists in slingshots. Among all those were 700 chosen men who were left-handed, not surprising. Left-handed, everyone could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. These were slingshot specialists, and they were using a mighty weapon of war. And so it seems to me, David, as this youth, he was well versed in how to use this slingshot. So evidently he had practiced this as he was out in the pastures with his flock. He'd become an expert marksman as well. And so when it came time for him to go against Goliath, the first thing that he did was he used his own armor. He picked up the armor for himself. He picked up the weapon for himself. He didn't take a javelin. He took a slingshot and 5 smooth stones. Now, he knew that it only took one to take down Goliath, but he was prepared. And then I want you to notice that he ignored the opposition. He ignored the enemy. In verse 41, the Philistine moved forward and came near to David. Think about how intimidating that would be. He looks big way off, but as he's moving toward David, he's getting bigger and bigger. With his shield bearer in front of him, and when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come here with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air, to the beasts of the field. David hears his taunting, but David ignores that taunting. He's not intimidated by his opponent. In verse 45 says, David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You see that now? He spoke of the past experiences that he had, that he trusted in God's strength in the past. But here he is in the moment taking a step of faith. In this moment, he is walking. He is trusting in God. He says, I come to you not in my own strength. I come to you in the name of the power, in the name of the Lord. Look at verse 46. This day, hear the confidence, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. Notice who he is giving the credit to. David doesn't take the credit this entire time. He is relying on the power of God, and he is giving God all the credit. And he says, due to this battle, and due to the Lord's strength, everyone is going to know the name of God. I wonder if the whole army of Israel on this side is not roaring with their war cries at this time. Now they've got some confidence as well, because David was willing to step out in battle. They didn't think they had a chance for so long, and now here they have this courageous youth standing up against this giant. Notice the confidence next. This is what's amazing to me in verse 48. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. You might think at that moment, all right, talk is cheap. Now that the giant is coming, is he going to run and hide behind a tree? No, that's not what the story tells us. The story tells us that he was willing to face that giant, and he ran toward the battle, toward the giant. And I think that's important for us to understand, that when we face temptation in our life, when there is a Goliath who is standing in front of us, we as a child of God do not have to cower in fear behind a tree. But if we know that we are in the power of the Lord, we can know that we are in God's will, we do not have to be afraid of the enemy. If you are relying on God, if you are relying on his strength, you can move toward the enemy. Verse 49, David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. And the stone sank on his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. David was precise. I mean, all this armor that Goliath had on was a pretty small spot for David to hit that would make an impact. And David is so accurate that he hits him right on the forehead. And at this point, Goliath falls face down to the ground. So picture this huge giant in front of you, and now that giant is lying on the ground. Not so intimidating now, right? David runs over and stands over him. And in verse 50, it says, David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Wait a minute. The deal was, if you take down Goliath, they're going to come and serve you. They didn't hold that bargain. They didn't keep that deal. They fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath. And so just picture that. Maybe they're running past David. They're thanking David for his courage, because now they have the courage to go after the Philistines. What a scene that would have been. And there's a real temptation, maybe when you face a giant, to let up at the end. But David didn't say to Goliath, you know, have you learned your lesson? No. What he did was, as he took out his sword and he cut off his head, he was going to put that giant to death. I think that's important for us to understand. Because when you picture that in your mind, that what David does is he keeps the head of Goliath, He says, look at what God can do in his strength, in his power. What God can do is he can defeat our enemies when we rely on his strength. And it was a reminder that the victory had come in the power of the Lord. And so here's the lesson that I want us all to learn today as we wrap up. Giants can be conquered by the power of God, by his strength. When we rely on his might, giants can be conquered. The intimidating, the ones that seem insurmountable, can be conquered. So today, if you face a giant, if you stay in the will of God and you trust him, you stay in faith, you give God the credit. Remember those scriptures, greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Our victory is faith. When you defeat your Goliath, give God the glory. Give him the praise. And it may be that right now, you're not facing a giant in your life. But you will someday. You will someday. Everyone, at one point in time, will face the giant of death. Everyone will go through the valley of death and face the biggest giant of all. But it's so comforting to know that the Son of David has preceded you in that valley, and he has conquered the giant of death. And because he lives, we can live also. When you meet that giant, God will be there with you. It's not by your strength, not by your might, but by his strength and his spirit. And you win the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Let's sing.